want to read the words of Job in Job chapter 19, verses 23 to 27. Listen now to the word of the Lord. Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Oh, that with an iron pen and lead they were engraved in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he shall stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold and not another. Oh, how my heart faints within me. Father, we thank you for this Easter Sunday. We thank you for the great joy of Job that we share today, for our Redeemer lives, and we pray in his name, amen. One of the most remarkable people of the Old Testament is this enigmatic figure, Job. And yet the very first thing it said about him is that he was remarkable for a blameless and upright life. He feared God and turned away from evil. And the Lord pointed this out to the devil. But the devil answered back that Job only honored God because of the good things that the Lord gave him. It was a challenge. Satan said, "But stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face." That's something our world wonders about us. Why do we believe in the Lord Jesus? Is it only because of what we get from it? Well, this was going to be tried in the case of Job. For the Lord permitted Satan to touch him in order to prove the sincerity of his worship. Job had been remarkable for his faith and godliness. Now, secondly, he would become remarkable for his suffering. Well, Satan sprang into malicious action. Raiders came and they slew all of his servants. Fire fell from heaven. It destroyed all his livestock. Most grievously, his children. He had a very large family. They were feasting and the roof collapsed and all of his children were taken from him. And the book of Job relates how this afflicted man struggled but succeeded in holding to his faith in the midst of great trials. He continued worshiping the Lord. He said those great words, "The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Well, during one of the arguments with the people who were accusing him, he expressed how he had continued to believe despite all these trials. The question might be asked of Christians today, in the turmoil of our world, in the chaos and the division, how do you keep believing in Jesus Christ? We give the same answer this morning as Job, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth." And that statement shows a third way in which Job was remarkable. He had led a remarkably godly life. He had suffered remarkable afflictions, but God sustained him with a remarkable revelation, a knowledge of our salvation hope through Jesus Christ. And the message burned in his heart so that he longed for it to be recorded. "Oh, that my words were written," he said. "Oh, that they were inscribed in a book." Oh, that prayer was answered, of course. And what Job had learned was far more important than his own struggle and sufferings. It was a great message of salvation for the world. That's what we're gathered this morning to proclaim to Greenville. A great message of salvation for the world because Jesus lives. We're going to break this out in three ways. First, he had faith in a Redeemer. Secondly, he had the knowledge that his Redeemer lives. And thirdly, he had the assurance that he, therefore, would live with him in the glory of eternity. Let's look at those three claims each together. First, I know my Redeemer. When Job spoke of a Redeemer, he was referring to what in the Old Testament was called the kinsman Redeemer. It was a relative who was obliged to come and restore your land when you had lost it. And yet one of the features of the book of Job is he makes clear that he had no such Redeemer. One of the afflictions was his whole family forsook him. He was left alone. There was no one to redeem him. How many people feel that way today? Maybe you feel that way. Others have a Redeemer. "I have no one to care for me." But Job said, "Oh, yes, I do." And he is bearing testimony so many years ago to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the Messiah of the Bible, the Redeemer sent from God. And the knowledge of Jesus, you say, "Well, Jesus wasn't yet born." Oh, but he knew he was going to be born. He knew that he was the eternal Son of God. And this kept Job's faith alive. It caused him, in the midst of affliction, even to brim over with a joy that must be expressed. "Oh, how my heart faints within me," he exclaims. And he longs for the message of Christ the Redeemer to be written with an iron pen and engraved in the rock forever. Now, biblical redeemers had three jobs to do, three tasks to perform, and each of them is fulfilled for each of us who believe by the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps most commonly, we think, as I mentioned earlier, of the redemption of the property. The land was everything in the Old Testament. The land is where life came from. And if you lost your land, you were losing everything. Oh, but everyone had a redeemer. The kinsman redeemer was a family member who was obliged. The expectation was upon him that when he had resources and his family member had lost everything, he would step forward. He would be the redeemer. He would pay the debt. And the land would be restored. That was one of the things that we saw in the book of Ruth. Naomi and Ruth have lost everything, and the land was gone, but Boaz is the kinsman redeemer. He paid the debt. He bought back what was lost. He restored it to his relative. He was the kinsman redeemer for Ruth's former husband, which is why he received her as his wife when he redeemed his relative's land. Now, that redemption of the land in the Old Testament, that great redemption it shows, was a picture of what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross. You may know that Easter Sunday follows on Good Friday, and the two go together. And when we proclaim that he is risen, we also proclaim that his atoning death was redemptive. It achieved, it paid the debt owed by his people. What debt was owed by us? We have many debts, but our chief debt is the debt of our sin to the justice of God. How can we pay the debt for the wrongs we have done, the transgressions of God's law? We cannot, and so he sent his Son, the Lord Jesus, and in the coin of his blood, he has paid the debt for the sins of all who believe. The Apostle Peter proclaimed that believers were ransomed not with perishable things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. Paul rejoiced that in Christ we have redemption. There's that language. We have someone to pay our debts through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins, according to the riches of his grace. Now, a second function of a redeemer was to rescue a relative who'd been captured by an enemy. That was another situation for which one needed a redeemer. Maybe the best biblical example is that of Abraham and Lot in Genesis 14. Lot was carried away by the kings of the east when the raiders came, but he had someone who redeemed him, in this case, not by price, but by power. A redeemer who would come and who would rescue us from the clutches of the evil that would engulf us. And this is what Jesus accomplished for us by rising from the grave. Abraham was a strong warrior. He rescued Lot from the eastern kings. I have to say, maybe you join me in this. I think Stacy is reminding me more and more of Abraham in the gravity of his person as he seizes with age. Abraham was a man of might and a redeemer, and he rescued Lot. And we sing the same thing. Lives again our glorious King. Where, O death, is now thy sting? Once he died our souls to save. Where thy victory, O grave? Christ redeemed us from the debt of our sins on the cross, and he redeems us from the power of death by that open tomb that we remember today. Now, the third duty of a redeemer was to avenge the death of a relative or friend. It was someone who would not only do away with the effects of our enemies, but attack and destroy the enemy itself. And this is the work performed for us by our Redeemer Jesus. Paul wrote, "For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death." And so Christ not only delivers us from our spiritual enemies, from sin and from Satan, but he actually puts away that which threatens our soul. What a comfort we possess, because we can say this morning with Job, "I know that my Redeemer lives. I have a kinsman in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have a kinsman in the Lord Jesus Christ? You can know that you do by believing on Him. And you will become a child of God, and you will be able to say, in Jesus Christ, I have the Redeemer I need. But Job is comforted not only that he had a Redeemer in the past, but that he has one now. He says, not only do I have a Redeemer, but secondly, my Redeemer is actually living. I know that my Redeemer lives. It would be a blessing to have a Redeemer who had helped us in the past, yet it would not be sufficient to Job's need. We would say, I had a Redeemer, and I value that, but I wish I had him now. Well, a Redeemer must be living. If he is to pay the debt, if he is to rescue us from power, if he is to defeat the enemy. And my friends, the resurrection message that we bear this morning says that we have a Redeemer and that he lives. That's our testimony this morning, that Jesus Christ is actually living. It's not merely that we look back to Bible times and say, wow, look, the Son of God came. Look at what he did. Look at what he said. He died on the cross for my sins. I can never thank him enough for that. He rose from the grave. That's what he did. No, but he lives. And his great redeeming work continues today. I know that my Redeemer lives. My friends, that's the testimony that we give this Easter Sunday. And we have a Redeemer who rose from the grave and who lives. I have to say, it is my opinion that Christian people today do not make enough for our own benefit, for our witness, for our faith, of the present ministry of our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that Jesus, when he rose from the grave, he didn't disappear from the scene? The Bible shows that he ascended into heaven and he is reigning at the right hand of God the Father. Now, when we say he is reigning, we say that he is redeeming. And here in the darkness of our world, the chaos of 2022, what will historians say of 2022? It will not be good. We can be sure of that. And yet here we are, and that Christ is causing his word of truth still to be spoken and still to be preached, still to be passed from believing mother to believing child, still to be proclaimed by missionaries in distant land, still to be celebrated by Christian people in the heart of this teeming city. It is because Jesus lives, and he is sending forth his message of redemption so that people will hear it. I remember very well, I was converted to Christ at age 30. Why? Because my Redeemer lived, and he sought me, and he caused the word to be preached, and he placed me there. Oh, he lives. He proclaims the message of salvation through his blood and his resurrection life. And do you know the Bible says that Jesus is interceding for us at the right hand of the Father? I have a Redeemer, and not only does he hear me when I pray, but the Bible says he is praying for me. Is that a thought that you know? In all the troubles and all the trials that would cast us down, but we have a Redeemer, and he is interceding with power at the right hand of God. Oh, Christian, you will not fail. Oh, Christian, your faith will not lose out. I know that my Redeemer lives, and he is interceding for me. He is sending forth the Holy Spirit. You realize that's our greatest need in this life? My greatest need is not riches, health, wealth, prosperity. They can do me just as much harm as good. No, but I have the Spirit of the living God living in my heart, giving me power to love and to turn from sin and to fulfill the godly life that we're called to do, to rise from the turmoil of our generation. We have a Redeemer, and he lives. He sends the Spirit into our lives. And we have a Redeemer who lives, and so he is coming on the clouds, and every eye will see him. And he will cause righteousness. Someday when he returns, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus, he will reign indeed, even as he does, in fact, in spirit today. We have a Redeemer. Our Redeemer lives. Well, thirdly, despite all the affliction of his life, his sufferings, the abandonment of his family, the losses he was suffering, Job was able to rejoice because he has a Redeemer. His Redeemer lives, and because therefore he knows that his future with him, with the Lord Jesus Christ, will be one of life and glory. There was assurance in his heart And there was joy that came with it. Why? Because there would be salvation in the end. His hope was fixed beyond the trials of this life to the end of days when Christ will reign in the victory of his kingdom. I know that my Redeemer lives and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. Job 19:25. Here's a statement that makes clear that he can only be talking about Jesus Christ. He can only be talking about the Savior of the Bible. Life had turned so bitterly sour for him. But he knew that history in the end would have Jesus standing with authority on the earth. It's a clear reference to the second coming of our resurrected Lord. Charles Spurgeon said, "Our hope is that the Lord shall come to reign in glory where once he died in agony. We are looking forward to the literal, personal, and actual standing of Christ upon the earth at that time when creation's groans shall be silenced forever and the earnest expectation of the creature shall be fulfilled." Well, Job foresaw not only Christ, that he would stand on the earth, but that he, Job, would stand with him through faith. Yes, Job was suffering. Yes, Job was going to die. But because his Redeemer lived, he knew that he too would live. Isn't that what Jesus said? "Because I live, you will live." And the New Testament is bold, not merely to define a resurrection. Spiritually, it is true that the as we experience a resurrection, it's happening in our lives right now. There is newness of life through the Holy Spirit. The powers of the age to come are being sent by Christ through his word into our spirit. But my friend, there is a time when our bodies will rise from the grave. And we will be restored in the resurrection morning. You think of what Martha said of her dead brother Lazarus. "He will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." John 11:24. There's our hope. There is our hope. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." And Job was rejoicing in this. He says, "After my skin has thus been destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another." And when he said, "Yet in my flesh I will see God," that is the fullness of eternal bliss and glory. To know God and to bask in the light of his presence, to look upon his face, the face of our Creator, the face of our loving Heavenly Father, to partake of his glory. Spurgeon writes, notice he does not say, "Oh, I'm going to see the pearly gates. I'm going to see the walls of jasper and carnelian. I shall see crowns of gold and harps of harmony." No, no. He says, "I will see God. I will see God in heaven. And we will be like Jesus. And we will be perfectly satisfied and content." No wonder that Job, in the midst of the turmoil and the loss of his life, said, "Oh, how my heart faints within me." Dear friend, we pray this Easter morning that you have a personal hope of that resurrection life that sustained Job in the midst of his trials. And I want to conclude on that note because there's one thing that must be said. That Job says, "I know that my Redeemer lives." Notice he did not say, "I know that a Redeemer lives." He says, no, "I know that my Redeemer lives." Do you realize how essential it is that you should be able to say that? Not merely to say there are a people who believe this, and that's kind of a hopeful thing. There they were at Weiss Pavilion on Easter Sunday. It's just kind of like the old times. No, it's not for show. You, God would have you say, "I have a Redeemer. I know that my Redeemer lives." Not just a Redeemer, but my Redeemer. How can you know that? You know it by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. By responding to the testimony of God's word, by believing. In fact, as you believe, it's because God has saved you. It's by the grace of God he is saving people out of this world. For this salvation, through the preaching of his word, oh, it's our prayer that if you've not been saved, it would happen for you today. It will not save you to admire from afar or to soak in a little religious flavor in the holiday season. No, you must be able to name Jesus Christ your brother through faith. You must look to the risen Jesus and say, "That is my kinsman Redeemer. And I know that because he has laid hold of my heart by the power of his word. You must know him as one who has pledged your redemption. You must look to the cross and see that the debt of your sin, the guilt of your sin, was taken there and taken away, and that you bear it no more, that you are forgiven through faith in Jesus. You must look to the empty tomb and see your resurrection. You must look to the future and see Jesus standing on the earth and say, with him I shall see God. Well, how can you know Jesus as my Redeemer? Well, the Bible answers clearly. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Believing means accepting as true the Bible's teaching that Jesus is the Son of God, the Savior of our souls through the blood of his cross and his open tomb. You simply call on the name of the Lord, confess your sin, and ask Jesus to be your Redeemer. And what does the Bible say? That everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Well, Job was so excited about this, about the resurrection of Jesus, that he made a plea that his words would be engraved in the rock forever. You know that wish has become true because his words have been inscribed with an iron pen on the markers of countless Christian graves. His words are words to die by. I know that my Redeemer lives. But my friends, they are also words to live by. I know that my Redeemer lives. Yes, I can face death. I also can face life with joy, with assurance, knowing that the trials of this life through faith in Jesus Christ are leading me to an eternal glory, and they will cause my life, like Job's, to leave a legacy of faith for others in the world. Let's pray together. Father, we know that our Redeemer lives, and we look in faith to Jesus Christ as sinners needing to be saved, and he has saved us. We look at ourselves, Lord, facing death and the grave and powers beyond us, but we have a Redeemer. He's conquered the grave. Sin, death, Satan, and hell, he has conquered them all. And so, Father, we look towards the future of this world, but today we pray that Jesus would send forth his redeeming arm, even as we bear testimony to his resurrection. Would he, with that mighty arm, work strength to save those who believe? To him be glory forever and ever. Amen.